Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Are you glad to be here this morning? Back from summer? And you know what? I think we have a special guest with us this morning. Do we have a special guest this morning?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. Are you special?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we do have a special guest this morning.
Okay, Joel, where are you?
I'm right here. Where are you? Oh, there you are. So, hey, what's going on?
Oh my goodness. I did it! I won the head chef position at the newest and best Italian restaurant in town.
Wow! Ooh. Congratulations, chef. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joel. I'm just very happy to be chosen for such an important job. Lots of people will be counting on me every day to make important decisions for the restaurant and to prepare perfect food.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Wow, that sounds like a lot of responsibility, Chef. Ooh. You know what? I know that you're going to do a wonderful job.
Well, I don't know.
What?
I haven't decided if I'm going to take the job.
Well, why would you give up such a great opportunity?
Well, sometimes I think that they should have chosen someone other than me. I mean, I'm the youngest chef in the city. I'm the strongest. And, I should say I'm not the strongest and definitely not the smartest.
Oh, my goodness.
What? But what if I make a mistake? Maybe I should call them back and tell them I can't do this job. No.
Well, just hold up. Just because someone looks smarter or stronger doesn't mean that they're the best person for the job.
Really?
Absolutely. You know what? Today we're going to be talking about our friend David and how God made him king over all of Israel, even though there were a lot of other men who were older and stronger than him.
Well, why would God choose David to be king if there were other men who were stronger?
Well, that's a great question. And you know what? Let's look at our verse of today. And it's our key verse, and it's found in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. And it says, "People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, I think I understand. God chose David not because he was the strongest man, but because he had a good heart. Is that right, Pastor Joel?
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know what, Pastor Joel? I think I'm going to take the new job. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. If God has given me talents, I sure don't want to let them go to waste. I trust
That's
that
right.
God sees something good in my heart and use me even if others around me look stronger or smarter than me.
Well, you know what, Chef? That sounds like a great idea. And I'm so glad that you stopped by today. You know what? Would you like to stay and hear the rest of the story about David becoming king?
I would love to do that. I'll go find my seat. Thank you, Pastor Joel.
Well, you're welcome. We'll see you later, Chef.
Okay, bye, Joel. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's everybody give Chef a big hand. Bye, Chef. Woohoo! And so this morning as we close out this series on David and the life of David, we're going to be talking about his journey to becoming the king of Israel. And later on, we're going to talk about why God would choose someone like David, as we talked about with Chef. So we're going to set the scene a little bit. And so there's a lot of scriptures here this morning. So everybody's going to be right and pay attention this morning, right? Boys and girls and moms and dads. All right. So in 1 Samuel 13:13, it says, the prophet Samuel was sent to rebuke King Saul for disobeying God. And so in verse 13 it says, "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands." You see, Samuel, I don't know if you remember the story that we've been talking about during the life of David, but Samuel was was God's prophet, and he's actually the one who had anointed King Saul to be the king. God used him to set him up as the king. And, you know, at first, if you remember, Saul was a good king, but then he started disobeying God. And little by little, it finally got to a point to where God had to make a choice and to remove Saul as king. And so the Lord spoke with Samuel how he was not happy with Saul and that he'd found a replacement, like we just read. And he found what? He found a man after his own heart. At this point, Samuel still didn't know who this man was, but it was just made clear that God was going to remove Saul and there was not going to be any changing of his mind. And so, obviously, King Saul was upset with this news, right? I mean, wouldn't you be upset if you had a kingdom at your hand and then all of a sudden they're saying, "Hey, it's all over. You're done." But you know what? He still didn't change his ways. He would still make excuses. He would still blame everybody else for his bad decisions. And without thinking about any kind of consequences, he continued to disobey God. And one day, after a battle with the Amalekite people, God sent Samuel to rebuke Saul once again, and this time once and for all. And we'll find it in 1 Samuel 15:10. We read, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command.' Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night." In verse 12, it says, "Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul, and someone told him, 'Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went to Gilgal.'" He went to go and set up a monument to himself because he was so proud of himself for all the great things that he thought he was doing for God, you see. And then when Samuel finally found him in verse 13, Saul greeted him cheerfully, like nothing's going wrong. He says, "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I have carried out the Lord's commands." Hey, you know what? I totally forgot. I've got a video that shows this part of the story. Would you guys like Legos? Anybody like Legos in here? I like Legos. I got a short video, and just watch this video. And this tells it a little bit better than I do, maybe. Do you have that video? King David.
What? "Ah, Samuel, I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
What then is this bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen which I hear?
The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice them to the Lord your God.
Now the Lord sent you on a mission, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites."
I did what the people wanted.
"Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king."
"I have sinned. Please pardon my sin and return with me."
"I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel."
"Samuel, wait."
"The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you, is better than you, is better than you, is better than you, is better than you."
Oh, that made Saul really happy. "Who is better than you, is better than you, is better than you." Oh, that would just make you so happy. "Oh, he's better than you. He's better than you." I like the way that guy's voice. I love the music in there too, you know. And then Saul's got, he's kind of from down under maybe. I don't know. Australia. So, yeah. But you know, Samuel was really torn up about this. He really cared about Saul. And after this dramatic scene, Samuel went around moping for a while, you know. How many of you are good at moping? When something bad happens, you just kind of mope and you're sad. So Samuel was crying over Saul. And then one day God came to Samuel and he said, "Look, Samuel, it is time to stop crying over Saul. I have rejected him as king. There's nothing's going to change my mind about this." So what a great story. This small, unknown shepherd boy was about to become the king of Israel. God anointed him right then and there. He's very unlikely by all accounts. And so immediately David became king of Israel, right? I don't think so. Nope. You would think so, though. He was just anointed king. But the reality is, it took maybe 15 or 16 years before David would become the king of Israel. And during these years, David had some good times and difficult times, right? It was during that time. Do you remember the story of Goliath? He slayed the giant and he actually cut off his head. He killed the giant during this time. He also played music for the king Saul. God put him in a position to minister to Saul with his musical abilities. And you know what? I believe that when we remember when David was just anointed by Samuel and it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, I believe that God anointed David with special abilities at times to be able to minister and to be able to carry out his work, to be able to carry out his will. And so God, David didn't use those things for his own personal benefit. He used them to benefit others and to benefit the plans and the will of God. But you know, there were times that David also lived in the wilderness during this time, running from Saul, who was trying to kill him. You remember a couple of weeks ago, Saul threw a spear. He was always trying to kill David because he was mad that his kingdom was slipping away. But David, even during all of these wilderness times where he was hiding in the wilderness, he even had several opportunities to kill Saul and to harm Saul. But you remember what? Kelly talked about it last week. He never even raised his sword or even his word against Saul because he knew that God had anointed him and placed him there. And he respected that role of the king. And he knew that God would eventually make him king in his perfect timing. It wasn't easy, but David was faithful to God during all of these times, the good times and the bad times, and he waited until the right time. And so as time passed, David was gaining more and more of Saul's followers, okay? And David continued to grow stronger. His followers began to continue to grow stronger, and they were beginning to fight each other more and more. David wasn't just on the run all the time. He was beginning to have soldiers, and they were beginning to engage in battles. And altogether, I don't know if you know this detail or not, but altogether, Israel, the nation of Israel, was made up of 12 tribes. What's a tribe? A tribe is like, say, 12 brothers with their families. That's kind of a tribe. But it's a lot bigger than that. So you have these 12 different tribes of Israel. And most of the tribes were very loyal to Saul. They really wanted to see Saul stay their king. But then there were some of them that were getting kind of, I don't know, Saul's getting a little crazy and he's just being very selfish. And I kind of like David's style a little bit better. And I've heard that story that God had anointed David to be the king. So maybe I'm going to go and follow David. And so it was this kind of a back and forth battle for people. Then one day, eventually, during a fierce battle with the Philistines, King Saul, along with Jonathan and two of his other sons, were killed in the battle. And this news, you think David would be really happy, right? He was jumping up and down and dancing and shouting. No, he was really upset that Saul had been killed. But this put him in a place to where the tribe of Judah came to him and asked him to be their king. You see, he wasn't the king over all of Israel, but he took it because he wanted to honor what God had put on his heart. And so he still didn't, though, push to make it all his at that point, because he was still waiting on God's timing. In fact, they only had one tribe that was really devoted to him. So the tribe of Judah asked David to be their king. He accepted that position. So the 11 other tribes went with Saul's last remaining son that was alive. His name was Ishbosheth. Can you say that? Ishbosheth? Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth. That's a fun name to say. Ishbosheth. And Ishbosheth was an okay king, I guess. But he's, you know, as time started going by, he was becoming a little bit nervous. You know, like David was getting really strong, and some of the people were starting to defect even more and go to David's side. And then one day, King Ishbosheth was betrayed by two of his military commanders. And they knew that David was getting stronger as well. And so they wanted to gain favor in David's eyes, because they were saying, this is definitely going to be the king, right? So we're going to do something and going to make him happy, and we're going to set ourselves up. We're going to gain favor in this guy's eyes. So what they did was a very evil thing. They snuck into King Ishbosheth's palace one night and snuck by his guards, and they decided to kill him while he was in his sleep. And again, you would think David would become really upset, right? Because this would probably make him the king of Israel. Even though they were officially against each other, David was so upset that these men did this evil thing that he actually had to have them put to death as well. Okay, sorry for all the death scenes this morning, you know. But this is the Bible, right? This is the Bible telling this story. And so when this happened, the 11 other tribes of Israel finally recognized that David was chosen by God and finally accepted him as king. 2 Samuel 5, verse 1 through 3 shows it here. We read, "Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel, and you were the one that the Lord said, you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader.' So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel." And you know, oh my goodness, I did it again. I can't believe this. I forgot I have another video to show you guys. Would you guys like to see another video recounting this? I don't know if it's as cool as the first one or not, though. But, okay, do you have that video? Let's see if this will tell the story a little better.
Baana and Rechab, thinking to win David's favor, decided to get rid of Ishbosheth, the rival king.
He's really sleeping.
Behold the head of the son of Saul, your enemy, which sought your life.
When one told me Saul was dead, thinking to have brought me good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. No motion. When wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house, upon his own head, kill him!
I now anoint David king of not Judah, not Benjamin, not Simeon, but all of Israel.
Wow, what a dramatic scene, right? So David was more than just a little upset. He looked pretty mad, right? But this whole thing happened after all this drama. It put David in a place where he was anointed king over Israel. So finally, after all the fighting and all the running and all the hiding and patiently waiting on God, David was finally anointed king over all of Israel. And so today, when we come back and we visit this story, we learn that God chose King David because he was really good at taking care of sheep, right? Right? Wasn't he really good at taking care of sheep? Is that why God chose him? Okay. Well, I don't think... Oh, okay. It's because he was so handsome, right? Yeah. Had to have been because he was so handsome. No, I know what it was, because he had nice hair. Kind of like me. I've still got hair. Some of you don't have hair, so I've still got hair. But, oh no, that wasn't it either. I know why. It was because he defeated the giant Goliath, right? Man, I am just totally missing it here today. What is going on? Oh yeah, that's right. I had this conversation with Chef earlier. I'm sorry. God chose David because, not because he looked or acted like someone who would make a great king, but as we learned earlier from our Bible verse, God did not look at David's appearance, but he looked at his what? He looked at his heart. That's right. He looked at David's heart, and he saw something special in there. And you know what? You might not know this about David, but he's actually one of the most written about characters in the Bible. So many passages of the Bible cover his life, cover details of him being a shepherd, being a king, being a leader, being a mighty warrior. Many of the Psalms. Have you ever read any of the Psalms? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He wrote Psalms just like this all throughout the Bible, and they're recorded. And so we have a lot of information on David. We have a lot of description about David. And, you know, out of all of these passages and all of these descriptions, such as David being a king or a warrior or a shepherd boy, the best thing that he will always be known for is what? That he was a man after God's own heart. Every time someone tells me about David, that's what I always think about. Oh, I would like to be like David, a man after God's own heart. A boy after God's own heart. A young girl after God's own heart. We can all do that. David was a man after God's own heart. But so what was so special about David's heart? You know, what was it that made him so different from everyone else? What did God see when he looked at David's heart? You know what? I don't think anybody could ever really take a thorough examination of David's heart and say it was this, 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 and this, and this. But today, we want to just take a look at a few characteristics that David probably had that God saw in him and that we could possibly apply to our lives today as well. Can we do that just for a minute? So when God looked at David's heart, he saw a believing heart. See, David had a believing heart. I mentioned it earlier, but he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, David recognized his need for God, and he admitted his dependence on God to provide for him and watch over him, just like he did for the sheep that he had taken care of, right? And he continued to in Psalms 23, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And you know what? David knew how to be quiet before God. He knew how to feed his soul and his spiritual life. And he took that time and he waited on God. He worshiped God. He knew how to be quiet with him. And he knew how to find that spiritual rest that comes from being right with God. Whether he was out taking care of sheep or hiding in the wilderness or leading a nation, David took the opportunity to worship and pray and meditate on the Lord. So when we look at what David's heart, we can say that, you know what? He had a believing heart. He believed that God was there for him. The next thing we see is God had a bold heart, right? David had a bold heart. He was brave, right? He trusted God to fulfill what he had promised. When he faced Goliath, what did he run? No. He didn't focus on the giant. He focused on God's promise. He believed what God said was true, and he held to it with everything that he had within him. And then when he came and he stood before the giant Goliath, he said, "You come with me with a spear and a sword and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." 1 Samuel 17:45. He had a bold heart because he believed in God, and he took it to heart that anything God said was true, and that it was going to come to promise, or that promise was going to be fulfilled. And you know what? Just like David, we can trust God to defeat the giants in our lives. I know Pastor Todd spoke a few weeks ago. He started out the series on different giants in your lives and that we can crush those giants. I want to remind you today that any giant that comes in your life, any obstacle that comes in your life, we can call upon the name of the Lord. We can call upon the mighty name of God, upon Jesus, and we can believe that he can take care of us and that he can take care of these problems and these giants. Do you believe that this morning? Boys and girls, do you believe that this morning? So David had a believing heart and he had a bold heart. And David also had an inquiring heart. So what does that word mean, inquiring? What does that mean? It means David asked a lot of questions. And inquiring means just another way of saying ask. So David was always asking God for his will to be done in his life. Repeatedly, we can find scriptures in the Bible. I'm not going to put them up today, but it says David inquired of the Lord. 1 Samuel 23:4, 1 or 4. It says David inquired of the Lord. 1 Samuel 30:8. It says David inquired of the Lord, "Should I do this?" And the Lord would respond to him. Sometimes affirmatively, "Yes, you should do this." Or sometimes he would say, "No, you should not do that." Or sometimes he would say, "You should wait." And so we see that every decision that David made, he brought before the Lord in prayer. He would always wait for God's leading and direction before acting. And even when God did say no, he would say okay. And when God said yes, he would go forward. You know there was a time that when God spoke through the prophet Nathan that Solomon was to build the temple rather than David. David wanted to do this great thing for God and build a great temple for him. And he asked God, he had this great plan in his heart. He says, "I'm going to build a temple for God." And then God sent the prophet to him, and he said, "No, I'm not going to have you build the temple, but I'm going to have one of your sons build the temple." David could have gotten mad and said, "Well, I wanted to do this." But he said, "Okay, Lord, you know better than I do, and that's why I'm asking you." You see, David always bowed his knee and his heart to God, and he acknowledged God's sovereignty. In other words, he knew that God knew better. How many of you know that God knows better? God knows better. And so that's why we can, like David, have an inquiring heart. Come to David come to God and ask him like David did. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Maybe you're going through a transition in your life. You know, I know that there's some people in this room that are going through transitions. And you're getting here for the first time. You've just moved to Paris. And you've got a lot of decisions to make. I would encourage you to take those decisions before God and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do here? Do you want me to stay? You want me to go? Should I move? Should I go to this school? Should I go to that school?" I would encourage you to ask, because I believe that the Lord has a great plan for your life and that he can give you direction that will help you to make the right decisions for his plan, because I believe that he knows better. I know that he knows better than I do, for sure. And so I'd encourage you, boys and girls and moms and dads, have an inquiring heart before the Lord. And finally, David had what kind of heart? A believing heart, a bold heart, an inquiring heart. And, you know, again, like I said, these aren't all the things that David had. But one of the last things I want to talk about today is David had a repenting heart, a repentant heart. Now, let me just say this, and listen very closely, boys and girls. You know what? We talk about David and how great he was and all the great exploits and different things he did for God. But he really messed up at times. He really did. There were times that he chose to disobey God and do things that were not right. Much like even Saul did. And there was one time in particular that he lied and he cheated and he did some other things to hurt some people really, really bad. And people ended even up dying because of it. Because of the decisions that he made. So he really messed up. And when he messed up, God wasn't happy with him. I don't think God's happy with me when I mess up. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. And I'll be the first to tell you, I mess up. I mess up a lot. I need God's help. And so when I mess up, I want to have a heart like David, a repentant heart. There was a time in the Bible when David messed up like this. God, you know what? God likes to send prophets back in the Old Testament. God sent the prophet Nathan. Much like he did with Samuel and Saul, Nathan came to rebuke David. And he did rebuke him. However, the big difference is David actually repented. He was truly sorry for the decisions that he made. And he asked God to forgive him. So when he was confronted by Nathan, he humbled himself. And he said, he even wrote about it in some of the Psalms. He says, I have sinned before the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord, it says in Samuel 12:13. And then he also wrote about this in the Psalms. He repented. He said, Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. In other words, he was saying, God, forgive me. Creating me a clean heart, one that is loyal to you, one that is fully after you. One, I know that I'm going to mess up, Lord, but I want to have a heart that is pure and set apart for you. And God saw that, and he continued to honor David. And let me tell you this, though, David still suffered a lot of the consequences for messing up. He still suffered the consequences for those sins that he committed, but he always bowed his heart to God, and he continued to praise and worship God and honor him with everything that he did. So David had a believing heart, a bold heart, an inquiring heart, and a repentant heart. In closing this morning, you know what, boys and girls, moms and dads, I just want to encourage you that we can have a heart after God's own heart as well. We can be like David and say, I'm a boy or I'm a little girl after God's own heart. And as we are reminded of our key verse today, people judge by outward appearance, but what? The Lord, come on, help me out here. The Lord looks at the heart. And I'm going to close out with these questions this morning. What does God see when he sees your heart? Just think about it just for a minute. When God sees your heart, does he see a believing heart? Does he see a heart that is truly trusting him no matter what circumstance you're going through? A heart that always goes back to his word and says, God, I believe you and I trust you for every need that I have. Do you believe that God is truly the Lord of your life? Do you find yourself taking time to nourish your spirit? In other words, do you find yourself praying and spending time with God because you know how important it is with him? Do you have that kind of believing heart that you meditate on God and on his word and on his goodness? Do you have a bold heart? Do you trust that when those giants come into your life, those difficult moments come into your life, do you really trust God to help you? It's just a question this morning for you to think about. Do you have an inquiring heart? Are you seeking God's will for your life? Or are you just making decisions just based on how you feel? Well, I don't feel like doing this, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I would encourage you this morning, have an inquiring heart. If you have to have some decisions to make in your life, boys and girls, moms and dads, come before God and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your help. I need your direction. What should I do? And wait for God to speak to you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.